Good morning and welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. I'm Phil McMillan. The first thing we need to do is prepare for worship with prayer. Nothing we can say or do is worthwhile to God unless it's done in His power. So search your souls, lay aside your guilt, self-obsession, and problems, and ask the Father for the eyes and ears of God, the Holy Spirit, so that all we say and do may edify this local body and glorify our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings and for the opportunity to assemble together and study your word. Heavenly Father, your grace and your blessings are so numerous that we could study and reflect on them each and every day. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we do that at least in our souls, if not through the looking at your word. But as we do look through your word this morning in Proverbs, we pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will give us the eyes and ears to see the wisdom of you instead of the conventional wisdom of Solomon. Help us, Heavenly Father, to understand that your plan and your grace is intended for us each and every moment of our lives. And we pray that we will be urged to do just that, reflect and live according to you and your grace through the work of your Son. And we ask these things in His name, sir. Amen. Well, let's see, it's been a few weeks since I was with you last. I want to thank Chris Daig for a marvelous beginning to the study of Hebrews chapter 11, the Heroes Hall of Fame, and he's going to be back with you working on that some more in the future. Deer season's coming up, so I'm going to have a weekend off somewhere in there. So, Chris is chomping at the bits to get back to his study in Hebrews, and I've been chomping at the bit to get back to our study in Proverbs here. Let's start with this, my verse to you and my prayer for you. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And that's the direction of our faith and the way of our walk. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning in Proverbs chapter 4. We're continuing here. Last time we wrapped up chapter 3. I hope you remember from chapter 3 that Jesus Christ, the source of our salvation and the revealed member of the Godhead, is the wisdom of God. God demonstrated, put his omniscience, his knowledge, all that he knows into action when he gave us his Son. Because he knew that we could not redeem ourselves. That if we were to have relationship with him, that he was going to have to do the work himself. So he sent his Son to give us the basis of that relationship through the imputation of God's own righteousness, because his righteousness cannot fellowship with unrighteousness. So he found a way to give us his righteousness. And the reason he gave, you know, we talk about salvation in terms of the benefit it gives us. It saves us from eternal damnation. But he did this not just to save us from that eternal pit. He did this so that he could continue to have a relationship with his creation. He made us for relationship with him. And that's exactly what we want to see this morning as we continue on in Proverbs chapter 4. That God's understanding is supposed to guide our lives. So let's start with just a quick read through of Proverbs chapter 4 here. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I gave you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. acquire understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is, acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it, and do not pass by it. Turn away from it, and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and watch all your ways, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn from the right to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. So we see the idea of walking with God through His wisdom, right? His wisdom is His Son and the work to redeem us. And we have here a little bit more given to us. We've been talking a lot about wisdom, but he's keeps adding in here understanding. And you know, we've seen that wisdom is the expression of God's omniscience, that work of Christ on our behalf, and that's the wisdom that we want to get a hold of. But we have to understand all that God has done to give us this salvation. And we have to understand and hold to that understanding. When we, you know, why live a life for Christ if you say, oh, once saved, always saved? Why bother? Go on, have a good time, you know? Well, because if you understand what Christ has done for us and what the grace of God's plan is, you want more of that relationship. You want more of applying and living according to the grace that you've been given from the Father. And this is what we're seeing in Proverbs chapter 4. Back to verse 1. Hear, O sons. This Hebrew word banim is from the root ben, which is a plural form of the word son, and it's the masculine word, but it's also translated in other places as just children. So, ladies, you aren't excluded from this in any manner whatsoever, okay? Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Now, this word in Hebrew and the Septuagint Greek, paidon, is exactly what it sounds like when you talk about instruction from a father. This is like children instruction, where you give them the information, you give them a carrot, you give them a stick, and you keep them on that path of using that information, right? This isn't the higher learning, right? This isn't the algebra. This is remembering 2 times 2 is 4, right? And getting those basic understandings into the new believer, the young person in this case, so that they have the information that they need to live according to these principles that we learn. Give attention. Hear the instruction, the training of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Now, understanding is in the Septuagint, the Greek word that they use there is innoia, which is in the preposition in plus nous. And Strong's definition of nous is the mind, comprising alike the facilities of perceiving and understanding and those of feeling, judging, and determining, the intellectual faculty and the understanding. Reason, in the narrower sense, as the capacity for spiritual truth, the higher powers of the soul, and the faculty of perceiving divine things, of recognizing goodness and of hating evil, the power of considering and judging soberly, calmly, and impartially. A particular mode of thinking and judging, thoughts, feelings, purposes, desires. The Hebrew word is bina, and it means clearly, consideration, discernment, understanding, and truth even. So the idea from both the Greek and the Hebrew word here used for that you may gain understanding is the things that you use each and every day to rule your life, okay? Our salvation isn't just to save us, it's to give us the standard and principle of God so that we can live our life by those things. And bina is the Hebrew word there. Discernment is a part of the understanding of that word. Discernment is so important as we look at the understanding of Proverbs, because we can look at this as just the wisdom of man, yes, and or we can look at this as divine information for us to live our lives by. And how that's going to happen, we know the standard of that by which that happens, right? God's power, God's work done in God's power. We're saved through God's work through Christ at the cross, and we live each and every day by the power of His Spirit in us. And we get both of those by our simple faith. So discernment is where we use this information of understanding God's plan and all that He's done for us, and we tell the difference between what is good and evil in the eyes of man and what is true good. There's no evil on the God side, right? It's just the true good. On the side of man, we say, oh, this is right and this is wrong. And you know, we look at our society today and say, gosh, what a mess. But those people that are putting these ideas of critical race theory and all of these things out there, they think they're the smartest thing in the world. They think that they have the found the answer of what is really good and what is really evil. And they're saying that everything we've done because of our standard of the Bible is evil in their sight. So when they say, you're a wicked, evil person because of the way you look at history, then they're saying they don't believe the Bible, and they think the Bible is wicked and evil, right? Because that's the standard by which we judge everything, is through the Word of God. So don't take it personally when you see these attacks, and it's easy to take it personally. I know I've had friends who've gone you know, completely away from me because they can't handle the fact that I look at everything through the eyes of Jesus. I had one friend for years, and we took a lot of philosophy classes and Latin classes together, and we would have great discussions, but invariably, as we would have these discussions, it would come down to, I would say, well, we got to stop here because that's the Jesus thing. And he knew I was going to tie everything I was saying to the Word of God and to my relationship with Christ. And he didn't want to hear that. So we'd go find something else to argue about from the top down. Until finally we got back to, there's that Jesus thing in the way again, right? And finally he just couldn't handle that anymore. He called me a lot of names, and he won't talk to me anymore. But anyway, So this is the discernment by which we understand the world around us so that we don't have these problems that everyone else seems to have, calling evil good and good evil, right? So in verse 2, he carries on here, give attention that you may gain understanding, verse 2, for I give you sound teaching. Teaching is lakak, it's a learning, a teaching, it's doctrine. It's translated doctrine in places. Doctrine is not just a word we invented to show how smart we are and to rule over other people. Doctrine is the sound teaching of God. It's everything that we know about any particular revelation from the Word. We say, okay, here's the doctrine of soteriology. So we say, point one, we list everything that we know about our salvation, that's the sound teaching on which systematic theology lives, right? We have systematic theology is like geometry. One of the few modern philosophers that I like in the Enlightenment was Spinoza, because Spinoza said after quite a preamble, he comes up with one principle, and then he says, "Let us proceed more geometrico, in the way of geometry." And that's the way geometry works. Geometry says, "Here's point a point," and then you put several of those points together, and you have a line. And then you make another line, and you have a mathematical relationship between those, whether they're perpendicular or parallel or make a triangle. All of that is based on, here's a point, okay? Everything in Euclidic geometry is based on that one thing and builds up on it. And at no point in geometry does it turn around and say, this point is not a point. It ceases, the whole system collapses if it backs up on that. And that's the way systematic theology works. We have one principle. We build on that principle. We create doctrines. And one cannot contradict the other, right? At any point where should we say, okay, we were saved by grace. Everything's done in God's power. And now, do this work or you're in trouble. We just cut ourselves off at the knees if we do that in any way. Whatever doctrine you might want to claim, you've contradicted the basic premise of salvation by grace. And you have nothing to stand on from that point on. Okay? So, this is the sound teaching, this learning, this is doctrine that we've been given. I had to step forward because my beloved brought me water and she's camera shy. So, let's see. I gave you doctrine. I gave you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Now, Torah, the Hebrew word here, is direction, instruction, and law. Right? You get a sound principle and you're told how to live by it. Don't abandon it. Don't walk away from it. As you have entered, so continue to walk, right? You entered by grace. Look for grace everywhere in your life. Look for that relationship of God's work based on His grace everywhere you go. Don't turn away from that basic principle. Verse 3, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. He's given you this from his experience, right? He knows how to train his son because he was a son. He remembered what he was taught and how he learned. And the same is true for us. You know, we know how to teach others because we know where we've come from, right? We know the degree of our own depravity better than anyone else. And by that degree of depravity, we know the grace that God has provided us in our salvation individually, right? And we were those wicked little children that needed a rod and a carrot, and God gave us that sound doctrine and raised us up to rely on Him more and more in our lives, and that's what we want to give to others in turn. So because we know it. So when I was young, my father taught me, verse 4, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Let your heart here is a Hebrew word leb, which refers to the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart of the problem. More, not the, yeah, what do you say? How they do it that way? not the idea of the physical organ, but the emotional connotation that we tie to it in the modern world. In the ancient world, they were more inclined to say gut or kidney. Bush or guts just doesn't have the same ring, does it? But that's the understanding here. Let your heart, your inner man, the mind, hold fast to these words. You want this, the Word of God in your soul, in your inner person, so that you can discern the things that you see in the world. Keep my commandments and live. And this is not only alluding to our salvation, but also by our daily walk. We live by this grace that God has given us. And verse 5, this is so cool in Hebrew. I got to tell you, I mentioned in our introduction to Proverbs that these are often couplets. These verses are often couplets. Oftentimes they rhyme. They almost always have good meter. They just trip right along, right? It says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. And these are two Kal imperatives. And they try to show that to you in the translation by putting exclamation points on there. But you don't need the punctuation in Hebrew. It's that stem that gives it the punch and also makes it roll, right? Now acquire here is just get it. Go and get it, right? And in the Hebrew it sounds sort of like ki ne hakma ki ne bina. Okay, here, it just rolls right along. It's pithy, it rhymes, and it's easy to remember. Okay, and it doesn't nearly have the punch with acquire wisdom, acquire understanding, as it does as it rolls throughout in the Hebrew. And remember, these are things that were written down. You know, they didn't have refrigerators in the ancient world, right? So you had to make a thing that you wanted people to remember and stick to them, make it roll along a little bit in the expression. So they did that in the meter and in the repetition of those sounds, so that this is something that he said, that a father said to his son, and that God is telling us that he wants us to remember. He's telling us that in the grammar, he's telling us that in the meter, and he's telling us that in the words. The word for acquire wisdom, that's chokmah that we saw earlier in our study of God's wisdom in the previous chapters, especially 3. And bina, we just saw earlier up in verse 2 there, okay? Understanding, gain understanding.
Could that be considered an ancient form of wrath?
Yeah, well, maybe so. Have you ever seen them pray? It was kind of rappy. And in modern Israel, there's a lot of Hebrew rap music, you know, and it isn't like, oh, that's the young people doing that stuff. You see an old guy with a clavica just jumping right in there as they rap these things out, because the language, if you choose the right words, it raps, it rolls, it rocks. Okay, yeah. So this saying here, kine hakma, kine bina. Do not gain understanding, gain wisdom, and or get wisdom and get understanding. Imperative commands do this, son. This is what you want. This, he doesn't tell him go get a Mercedes. He doesn't tell him get a good wife. Even he tells him get wisdom. That's understanding of God's application in our lives, right? Get understanding. Make it work in your life. Make it be a part of your life, okay? And this is what we're commanded. He's commanding us to do through these words of a father to a son. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, he tells him. Starting in verse 6, once again, we go back to this personification of wisdom. And it's funny because I started to call Herman at 5 this morning and ask him about this, but I didn't think he would be receptive to any Hebrew study at 5 in the morning. But it says, all of a sudden, right, he's talking about acquire wisdom, acquire understanding, and then he starts the personification of do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Well, which one is it talking about, understanding or wisdom? Well, we've already seen several times where he's personified wisdom as a she, but both of these words, wisdom and understanding, are feminine, and it doesn't specify which of those two things he's calling a she here, right? But when we see these two things, wisdom and understanding, as, again, two sides of a coin, right? Wisdom is what God put into action to save us. Understanding is how we respond to that magnificent grace that he's given us. So both of these things are in play when he starts talking about she here. It's the wisdom and the understanding that comes into your life through the Word of God. Do not forsake her. Don't forsake that wisdom and understanding. You live by it. And if you don't forsake it, she's not going to forsake you, right? God is faithful. God is always there for us as we rely on Him. His Word never comes back void, He tells us. And as long as we're relying on God, no matter what the circumstances of life may look like, just appear, because it's just this illusion of the devil's world. We know where our reality is, right? Our reality is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that's what the true wisdom and understanding is. Don't forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. This is our, think of this personification, this she, as our relationship that we have through Christ. And understanding what Christ has done for us so that we may please and honor Christ in our lives. This is the true life that God wants us to have. Understanding what He's done for us and responding to that in all that we do. Verse 7, the beginning, the main principle of wisdom is get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. If you're going to have one, you've got to have the other. There are a lot of people that can quote John 3:16 to you. There are a lot of people that know many verses that are right on and talking about salvation. And they know it, but if they don't understand that God has done this for them, believers, people take that information. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. They'll take that and say, wow, God did this great thing for me. I've got to please Him by my works. And they can cut themselves off even from salvation, let alone, even though on the outside, in the eyes of the world, boy, they're really holy. Right? They set attendance records every year. They tithe. They wouldn't dream of going to a bar. They do everything, you know, by every standard of man that says they're good Christians and have a relationship with God. But they did it all in their own power, and they rejected the grace that was given them. They said, oh, there's some great grace. I'm going to work to prove that grace. I'm going to work to get that grace. Don't be like this, brothers and sisters. We want to take the grace that God has given us, hold it in our hearts, and live by that grace in each and everything that we do. And as we rely on it, it will support us. If we keep to those principles, wisdom and understanding, know what God has done, how God has saved you, and live your life in a manner that reflects the grace that God has given you. Show it to others. Live it in your life so that you will have the assurance, the protection of God's grace in all that you do. Beginning of wisdom. Acquire wisdom, get wisdom, and with all you're acquiring, get understanding. You want the other side of that coin, okay? You don't want to just understand the doctrinal information that you've been given. You want to live that information, okay? Verse 8, prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace, and she will present you with a crown of beauty. Do you remember we had some quotes from Proverbs 3:34 in the New Testament we looked at? And here they're kind of alluded to again, right? We get that picture again. This isn't alluding to something in the future, right? It doesn't work that way. But again, in 1 Peter 5:6, he said, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." When we humble ourselves, put our own works aside, and rely on just the power of God in our lives, he's going to exalt us for that. When Christ is glorified, we are glorified with him, right? And also in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. The humility that we exhibit is knowing that it's all God's work, knowing that it's his grace that does everything for us and presents us as acceptable before him and uses us to glorify his son. And when his son is glorified, we're glorified, right? You got to get that principle, understand that principle, because so many of us are sports fans, right? When you are a big rootin' tootin' Cowboys fan and you are watching every game and praising them and wearing the t-shirts and talking about the game all through the week, right? And when they win, you feel great. You feel like you had a victory because they had a victory, right? And if they go to the Super Bowl, you wonder why your ring didn't come in the mail because you were after it so much. And that's the idea of our exaltation in Christ, because we're the number one fans, right? We're representing him, and that's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to get that Super Bowl ring in the mail because Christ, when he's exalted, that's when we get exalted. That's when we get the crown. That's when we get the glory of Christ, because we honored and glorified him in our lives, okay? So she will place on your head a garland of grace, and she will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life, and the years of your life will be many. Remember, this isn't saying that if you don't have a long, long life, you have failed God in some way, right? But it is, going back to the principle we'll see coming right up here, that sin kills, okay? Dying, thou shalt surely die, means that we start dying as a result of sin from the moment we're born. And when we are exercising some lust pattern in our lives, in any way, that lust pattern drags us down. That lust pattern affects us physically, and that lust pattern is going to kill us eventually, and the only cure is to avoid the lust pattern through the work of God the Holy Spirit. And that's not easy, right? A drug addict really likes drugs, guys. And that drug addict is not going to feel good if he stops taking those drugs, okay? But sure enough, those drugs are killing him each and every time he takes them. It's a little more shaved off of his life or her life, right? And if you want to prolong your life, walk in the power of God in his grace daily, and you'll avoid these sin patterns that destroy us all eventually. So, accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom, and I have led you in upright paths. Just as this father leads his son. This is our job, believers. It's not just my job as a pastor. It's all of our jobs to represent Christ and represent our understanding that God has given us to the world outside, right? We have the salvation that to offer, the gospel of Christ's work. We have that to offer. But to every believer out there, we have the gospel to believers, right? We have walking in the power of the Spirit and helping others understand living by faith so that they set aside those works that enslave them and drag them down. You know, they feel good when they can rationalize that they're doing their works and they know that they can say, oh, I'm pleasing God because I really got all these things. I checked the boxes this week, man. I feel good about that. But if they can't even rationalize it when they abandon it or fail to the point that they know they aren't checking the boxes anymore, that's miserable, man. That's a miserable feeling. And to be under that yoke of slavery, of making sure you check every box every day, that's a miserable way to live, okay? What's great and gracious is understanding that it's God who's at work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. And He is going to take care of everything as we rely on Him. And look, and we know we're relying on Him, remember, we have a gauge. Examine yourself, ladies and gentlemen. The fruits of the Spirit are clearly listed and alluded to throughout the New Testament. You know when you have them in your life. And if you don't have them, ask for them. As you believe, He is faithful to give them to you. Do you lack courage? Right? Do you lack peace? Because of the circumstances of the world in a pandemic, believers, do what you need to do with courage. You have not been given a spirit of fear, right? You've been given a spirit of boldness. Why can we be bold? Because I know that I'm going to be on this earth every second that God the Father wants me on this earth. I'm going to do everything that I must do according to His plan, regardless of any circumstance in this world. Okay, and that's when I have that, I have peace, right? I have the fruits of the Spirit, self-control and gentleness. I'm not trying to rule other people's life because I think it's going to make me be healthy, right? We're at a standard today. I saw a meme where one guy's walking in the rain and a woman with an umbrella next to him says, "Use your umbrella, idiot. I'm getting wet because you don't have one." And that's pretty much the idea these days. If we aren't all using an umbrella, nobody else's umbrella works, right? So we all need to get an umbrella. Don't let the wisdom of humankind fool you, right? Be at peace and do what you need to do. Come to church. Do your jobs. Live your life knowing that God has you. He will never abandon you, and He will prolong your days for every minute that He wants you here doing His work. Okay? In your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom and have led you in upright paths, right? And just as the Word of God leads us, we're to lead others into the path of righteousness. That's God's work done in God's way. Verse 12. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, right? If you're out of fellowship and you take a step, you're going to stumble on your own lust pattern. You're going to stumble on your own sin. You're going to fall into fear and desperation because you've walked outside of true understanding and living by faith. When you walk, if you do these things, you're in the upright path. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. You will be successful if you're in the plan of God. Verse 13, take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. right? This is like the advice to the infantryman about his weapon, right? You guard that rifle with, because it's your life. If it's gone or if it doesn't work, you're a dead guy when things go bad on the battlefield or when the battle comes to you. You have to maintain that weapon all the time. Even if you don't shoot it, you got to clean it. You have to keep know where it is at all time. If it's not in your person, on your person, it's locked away securely somewhere with somebody guarding it until you need it and you get it back from them. You keep that weapon always in perfect condition, and you know where it is so that when you need it, you can get it and use it. Okay, and that's exactly the analogy we see, is their understanding of what to do with the Word of God, with this information that you've been given. Keep it close by. Keep it brushed up, shiny, and ready to use. And when the moment comes where the world, the flesh, and the devil tries to trip you up, you will have the weapon to rely on. And that weapon here is knowing God's plan and responding to God's plan, having wisdom and understanding. Take hold of instruction, do not let go, guard her, for she is your life. Do not, verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Stay away from the bad stuff. Avoid it, do not pass by it. Now, that's kind of confusing the way it comes out there. Do not pass by it, and turn away from it, and pass on. Do not go the way of evil is what that first line means. Avoid it and do not pass by it. Do not go the way of evil. Avoid the way of evil. Turn away from it and keep on walking. Pass on. Right? We want to avoid the sin in our lives. And what's the sin in our lives? Believers, it's simple. Right? God knows how dumb we are, guys. And He kept this plan simple for us. And it's as simple as, are we relying on Him in faith? And when we rely on Him in faith, He shows it. He shows it to us. He shows it to us in our soul. He shows it to us in our actions. And it's easy to say, God is at work in me because of what He's doing in my life. It's easy to see and easy to say, because he always responds to that faith call and will give you those things. But turn away from the evil, that's anything else. If we're working to please only ourselves, if we're relying on our own power to generate anything in our lives that we haven't gone to God about, then we're walking in the path of evil. Now, we personify that as robbers and killers and things like that, but it's again as simple as you got faith or you don't have faith. That's it, okay? And if you don't have faith in your actions and your in the application of your understanding, then you're in sin, okay? So pass on the sin. Turn away from the past. Keep on walking in the path that God has put you on, has led you on, right? As it said above, do not, I led you in the path of the upright. Stay on that path. Don't turn aside. Watch where you step. Watch where you're walking. Okay? Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. Verse 16. For they, the evil ones, cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. Right? The people that rely on their own works, they are intent on making others rely on their own works. Okay? They want you under the same yoke of slavery that they're under. And we talk about, it's our job to give the gospel to both the believer and the unbeliever. You better do that job, because they're doing their job. They're telling other people, you have to believe that you're evil because you're a white person. Okay? They're selling this bill of goods. They're selling it hard. And if we don't sell what is truth, then we're just going to be overrun by the evil that's all around us. they can't sleep unless they make someone stumble and believe this stuff that they're selling. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Bread and wine. What does that remind us of? Communion, right? Our communion is in the bread of life, right? And the new deal that we have with God through the work of His Son. And the unbeliever has a whole different communion, a whole different relationship with toward God and toward their fellow man. And that relationship is seen in the communion of bread of wickedness and wine of violence. If you don't, I'm selling you wickedness, and if you don't believe it, I'm going to be violent against you. And we're seeing this come about more and more in our society. That if you don't agree with the people protesting, they will harm you. They will beat you. Especially if you're a poor little old lady. They really like to beat up little old ladies for some reason. Because they won't fight back, right? They're cowards, as always. Anyone who is wicked and violent are usually cowards. They won't fight unless they have an opponent they can obviously win against, or if they outnumber the one that they're fighting. So they have this communion, this relationship, not with God and through the work of His Son, and the power of a spirit, but with the bread of wickedness and violence. Verse 18, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Believers, don't let that slip by you. We have to grow in the Word of God. We have to understand more fully the grace that God has given us and live it, apply it in our life to a greater and greater degree. The day gets brighter. We come into the salvation and we see the light, but we've got to shine that light harder and harder in our lives. It should be growing in us. There is no finish line in glorifying God. That light is going to keep going till the full day of the full sun, and that's when Christ returns, and not a moment before. And we need to be that light more in this day and age than ever before in my life. But in the path of it's the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The light of dawn is our salvation, and our salvation light should shine brighter and brighter until the time we see Christ, full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble. They don't have the truth, and the thing they're calling the truth is dark in their soul, has hardened their hearts, and when it doesn't work, they trip and fall over it, and they can't even figure out why. They don't even know why. And it's because they've divorced themselves from God. They've refused to rely on Him in any manner or even acknowledge Him in their lives. And everything they do is going to make them trip and fall. And they're not even going to know why, because of the hardness of their heart. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, to my doctrine. Bend your ear. Listen. Think about it. Right? Incline your ear. That's volitional responsibility, believers. We have to lean in to get that doctrine. We have to pay attention to what we're being told so that it can make a difference in our lives. Believers, the fruit of the Spirit is God in action in your life, and it's visible and it's real. And if you don't see it in your life, you've got to ask yourself, where have I short-circuited my faith? Where have I gone astray? Why am I stumbling about? When we stumble, we know what we tripped on, ourselves. It was the fact that we did not incline our ear to the sound doctrine that we've been given. And that sound doctrine is found in a life of faith and grace. Okay? And incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Same word we saw before. Your intention, your discerner, should be these things of God, not the world around you. For they are a life to those who find them. Again, talking about salvation, you find salvation, right? God, the Holy Spirit, makes this supernatural information real to you so that you can make a faith decision for God. And the same thing each and every day. You have to make, God the Holy Spirit is ready and willing to give you the information so that you can put your faith in the right place and see the work of God in your life. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Verse 33, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the spring of life. Excuse me. We incline our ear, we volitionally seek our relationship with God. You don't just say, hey, it's 8 a.m., I hereby pledge myself to faith the rest of this day, and now I'm going to go do whatever I want to. Okay? It's each and everything you do, you have to consider, is this reflecting Christ? Is this what God wants me, how I'm supposed to represent God? Is this part of my faith, or is this an embarrassment to my faith? These things are apparent, but it takes our volitional desire to see it, and it takes our constant vigil to look for the work of God in our lives, okay? Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Know each and every day what you're believing. What is the source of what you're saying and doing? Is it the source of the gospel? Is it the impact of God working in your life? Or is it not? God the Holy Spirit will convict you and let you know if you need to make a faith correction. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet. Our Father has led us to the path of the upright, right? We have that way of the righteous in front of us. We've been taught it. And if we mind our step, watch your step. That's our pithy title for today, by the way. Watch your step, okay? If we watch our step, all our ways will be established. Everything that we do is going to be grounded in the relationship that we have with God. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Watch your step, ladies and gentlemen. And as we rely on the power of God, the Holy Spirit, He will establish our ways. He will make us righteous representatives of the gospel that we have to give the world around us. We can't do it from a point of self-righteousness. We can't do it from a point of violent coercion. We can't make people believe in Christ. We can't yell at them and make them believe in Christ. But we can demonstrate in our lives the power that God has to give through us and make them want Christ because of it. God the Holy Spirit wants to use you personally as an example for someone in the world today. And you have to watch your step so that He can do just that. Hope you'll be encouraged in your walk this week, and that you'll join us next Sunday morning for Proverbs chapter 5. We did a whole chapter. Yay. Yes, ma'am.
Would you go back over or give me a little
bit of the
feminine personification?
Feminine personification that we see pick up in verse 6, right? Do not forsake her. Well, we saw in chapter 1 and in chapter 3 that he refers to wisdom as a female. And it's mainly because of the gender in the language, okay? The Hebrew and the Greek have, every word has gender. masculine or feminine. And it has really nothing to do with the actual sex of anything, right? But abstract ideas in both languages are generally feminine genders, okay? So when I take that idea like a ship, I'm talking about a ship and I say, she's a fine vessel. That's because we have that tie of the feminine word, Latin word for ship, is still tied in that idea for us in English. I love that quote Kit sent. What was it? English doesn't borrow from other languages. It tracks them down a dark. It tracks other languages down a dark alley, beats them up, and goes through their pocket for grammar, coins of grammar and vocabulary. Yeah, the English taking that idea of gender assigned to a word and calling a ship she. Well, when we talk about wisdom and personify it so that other people can, you know, without a person without the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to understand, can see this thing in the picture of in the world around us. Well, it picks up the feminine pronoun she because it's an abstract idea, wisdom and understanding. Okay.
It's feminine in French too.
It's feminine in French too. Yeah, yeah. All the Romance languages are going to make the abstract idea feminine. Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right.
But you did say that wisdom was Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the wisdom of God is the work of Christ on our behalf. Wisdom is knowledge in action. That's the cleanest definition I can give of wisdom. It's when knowledge hits the road, then it becomes wisdom. If we act without any knowledge, we're going to hurt ourselves, right? If we have to have the information, the knowledge, and when we put it into action, that's wisdom. So God knew the true information. We were always going to be unable to redeem ourselves and provide our own righteousness. So He expressed that knowledge, that information in action by sending Christ. So that's His wisdom, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Okay? Any other questions? All right, great. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your wisdom, for the grace You've given us to have a relationship with You, to stand before Your throne and petition, to ask You, Heavenly Father, to represent Your Son in our lives, to know, Heavenly Father, through our faith, that You will do that as we ask. Heavenly Father, give us the boldness to ask. Give us the courage to act upon where You're leading, Heavenly Father. You've led us to righteousness. You put us on a path of uprightness. Heavenly Father, we pray that Your Spirit will give us the discernment and the understanding in our lives to make that difference that You want to make in us, in the world around us, that Christ might be glorified. For He deserves all glory. And it's in His name we pray, sir. Amen.